Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 116 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by your favorite Yosemite and mine, Brian. Brian, how goes it this week, my friend?
I would say it's going amazing. This has been an incredible week for me. I feel I've experienced some personal highs. Some professional accomplishments.
This may go down as my best week ever.
Really? In your life?
Clearly, I just.
Well, in theme of happiness, let's start off with a little drink then.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
Brian,
drink of the
week. What is it that you are drinking today?
What I'm working on is, you know me.
I'm loyal. Very well. Yes.
I'm a loyal person. I believe in supporting those that support you.
So all the great work that Broken Goblet has done for us, basically.
Just providing us with all this high quality Pennsylvania brewing effort. So I felt like I had to go with the Broken Goblet. So I'm breaking out the beer that we announced is the official beer of the summer. I mean, I could never cheat on Broken Goblet. I could never go to a different Pennsylvania brewery. It would be like cheating on my grandmother. By eating cookies made by a different lady on the block. So this week I'm working on Broken Goblet's Lager King, which they made in honor of the pandemic when we were all thinking we were going to die.
Just a great crisp lager, and you're going to be able to watch me drink this and enjoy it.
All right, fantastic. So while we're saying that, it sounds like you might have some feedback going on over there. What I'm hearing from people,
no,
maybe. Okay. Maybe try turning that audio processing back on. See if that does the trick.
For me?
For you.
I hear fine now.
All right.
I'm good now.
All right. As long as I turned it back on.
Whatever you just did, sir, made it work.
All right. Well, let's talk about my drink. Brian, today, National IPA Day. Apparently, the first Thursday in August is IPA Day. And yes, while we do love our friends at Broken Goblet, we do have a brand new brewery right down the road from my house, Cheshire Brewing Company, based in, the Creekside Market and Tap. And since it is IPA today, I purchased their High IPA, H-I-G-H IPA, which is their New England IPA. So let me just give this a sip here.
I can't imagine that you would decide to go out. Why would you go out of your way to visit a? You're cheating.
Brian, is it cheating when you drink Jameson instead of Macallan? It's just you have different likes out there.
But Broken Goblet was this close to sponsoring us. This week, I had to go find another sponsor. I had another series of meetings with Broken Goblet, and I thought they were ready to come on board. And they were like, you know what? Let's just watch this week's podcast. Let's see if you can, you know, how well you guys represent the Broken Goblet family. And then for you to come in with a competitor really hurts.
Well, who did you line up? You had mentioned the B-Gob. You had mentioned the Beirut Travel Bureau, which that obviously fell through. Who were you able to sign up for a sponsor this week?
Do me a favor. You've interrupted the last couple sponsors that I've brought to the table.
I have, yes.
And if you could allow me just to read this one all the way through, because that's the only way we get paid. They specifically said that we will get paid for this read if you don't interrupt me.
Is that the key?
That was the words, okay?
All right.
Are you ready?
I will do my best. I can't guarantee.
Okay. Yeah. All right, here we go. Well, Ron, the calendar has moved to August. The days are getting shorter. My hair is getting grayer. The dog days of summer are behind us. That means the fall is right around the corner. And folks, What do you do when it's fall? We watch football, specifically college football, and this year will be no exception. There's nothing like taking in the lovely fall foliage of Eastern Connecticut. There's nothing that's as more exciting as the University of Connecticut Huskies football team. Coming back from last year's disappointing 2-10 record, head coach Randy Edsall is returning with sophomore quarterback Jack Zirgoidius, defensive backs Diamond Harrell, Taylor Coyle.
Can you let me finish?
Because not only are they coming back with defensive backs Diamond Harrell and Tyler Coyle, but also special teams extraordinaire Dick Weed. There's no experience on earth like college football, especially when you're closely surrounded by 35,000 Husky fans screaming at the top of their lungs, supporting their home team.
There's just one little hitch there. UConn canceled their football season because of the coronavirus. They are actually not playing any games. So again, I have to ask, as I ask every week, did you get the money up front for the sponsorship?
No, they said they were going to pay after I read the whole ad uninterrupted.
They are not playing football. So you got to go back to the drawing board again, Brian. Got to go back and find us a sponsor.
So you're telling me if you go to the UConnFootball.edu, click on tickets and use our code, Ron and Brian COVID, you'll get 10% off season ticket packages, starting as low as $59 per seat.
I don't think you get anything. So why don't you go back to the drawing board and we can move on to This Week in Racism.
This Week in
Racism.
I mean, I don't want to feel like I've crushed your spirit, but you'll get there one of these days. Again, a full page of racism this past week.
Damn it, America.
As we had last week, some of our elected officials, which is always great, in Luray, Virginia, Mayor Larry Pressgraves has come under fire for posting to his Facebook page that, quote, Joe Biden has just announced Aunt Jemima as his vice presidential pick. Pressgraves told a local paper, quote, this was about a prominent woman who made pancake batter and the company was forced to take it off, which is wrong. This was no more racist than the names I've been called, which you should question why you're being called names. He also made the classic statement, I don't have a racist bone in my body. He has been urged to step down, but said, hell no, I'm not resigning.
Sounds pretty racist.
Yeah. Sounds kind of racist. All right.
Sounds a little racist.
Well, let's go to Harper Woods, Michigan. Mayor Kenneth Pointner, also under fire after he commented during a July 21st community meeting that he understood how someone could become a white supremacist. Harper Woods has been the site of ongoing protests after the death of Priscilla Slater, a 38-year-old black woman who was found dead in her holding cell just 12 hours after being arrested back in June. During one of these protests, Pointer's wife tore up one of the protesters' signs, which led to a protest at Pointer's house, which led to him apparently understanding why white supremacy exists. While he never apologized for his comments, he did tender his resignation on July 31st. Sure, a lot of people saw this one down in Nokomis, Florida. A man tattooed with swastikas and other racist symbols went on a tirade at Pop Sunset Grill, proclaiming himself to be a white supremacist and striking a female staff member. Nicholas Schock was arrested and charged with battery and disturbing the peace. The outburst occurred after other customers confronted Schock, who had taken off his shirt and unbuttoned his pants down to his pubic hair. After striking the employee, a group of diners held him down until police arrived. He also referenced Donald Trump and the Aryan Brotherhood, and then after his arrest, he was also charged with indecent exposure.
So he pulls his pants down, exposing his pubis.
And there are people that say he also whipped his dick out. Still again.
But that's when the employees had to hold him down?
No, that's when other customers were like, could you maybe put on a shirt and button up your pants? And that's when he hit the female employee, and that's when the other folks held him down until the cops got there. Going out to also, oh, Michigan again, Macomb County. Three female employees at the Macomb County Medical Examiner's Office were fired after a worker brought a cake decorated with the image of a black penis into an office lunchroom. A death investigator at the office filed an EEOC complaint regarding the cake that was brought into the office in late May, one day after George Floyd died in police custody in Minneapolis. The investigator also claims that one of her comments made a crude remark when the parents of a dead black man arrived and had difficulty identifying their son. Quote, "Show him a picture of his penis," the employee replied. "Maybe they'll recognize him by that." Just some work time chatter. Coming up to your neck of the woods in Branchburg, New Jersey, a man was caught on video harassing a black teenager for riding his bike in the neighborhood cul-de-sac. He also antagonized the teen and his father with insults and homophobic slurs, trying to instigate a physical confrontation. The internet initially identified the man as David Friedman from NBC Universal, but they now believe he is Brian Friedman from the Friedman Realty Group.
So all Friedmans look the same?
these two look surprisingly close, I have to say that.
Well, from the waist up.
Yes. Probably one of our worst ones and our last one of the week. We're going down to Orlando, Florida. A woman was videoed screaming racist abuse at two black landscapers that were working in the Delaney Park neighborhood of Orlando. We do have some video and audio of that. So the landscapers are unsure as to what set her off, but feel that she probably has mental health issues. The woman also verbally abused a neighbor that confronted her about her behavior. Another video surfaced later in the day showing the woman being arrested, which we also have. So the woman has yet to be identified, and it is unclear what she was charged with. But just seems like a delight.
I cannot imagine living in an environment like that where you have such issues with a neighbor.
And the funny thing is that was only, a 20-second clip, that first one. But it's literally, if you go on Instagram, it's 3 minutes of her just, like, saying, "Fuck you, you bitch. Fuck you, you bitch." Just constantly. And to their credit, the landscapers are just like, "You have a blessed day, ma'am. You have a blessed day."
It's fucking sad. It's really sad what this country's become.
Become? We've been this way, Brian.
You are woke. You know what? I'm going to cheers you. Cheers you.
Yeah, are you? What are we shooting with the Ron and Brian shot glass?
Look at me right there. Cheers to you.
Thank you, sir.
And to all of our listeners that are in the live chat right now, I want to say thank you for joining us.
Very nice. Salute. In the meantime, let's check out Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Ron, what's your beef?
I'm going to go out on a limb this week. I'm going to go big picture beef like you often do. My beef this week, my beef is Congress and not doing anything regarding additional stimulus or extending the CARES Act for people that continue to be impacted by this pandemic. The benefit, the additional $600 a week benefit ended a little over a week ago. We are still seeing higher unemployment rates. This past week, almost 1.2 million new people listed for unemployment, whereas new job was only about 880,000. So still a net loss of about 300,000 jobs, still double digit unemployment, still so many people out of work for, without any, any reason for themselves. Like, I think that shows the fact that the CARES money has gone away and unemployment is still going up. It's because jobs aren't out there.
Correct.
Still majorly, and again, yes, am I impacted because the Kara's money's gone? But, you know, I'm okay. I'll survive.
Now, when you, hold on, if I may interrupt, when you say, are you, how is it having an impact on your life?
Well, it's fortunately, it is not. So, I mean, it's impacted in the point that I am, you know, we're digging more into savings now to pay for things. But there are much.
But you're not. You mean why are you going into savings? I don't understand.
Are you not wanting to say that I'm unemployed? Is that you don't want to be the one to bring that up this week?
I just needed to see that glimmer of moment in your eyes when you realized exactly what I was getting towards.
Yeah.
It was all worth it.
And you know, and I look at, you know, just as a small microcosm, I, you know, there was some information from our local convention and visitors bureau here in Philadelphia. You know, out of the 191,000 hospitality jobs in the Philadelphia area, 111,000 people are still out of work. And you magnify that by all the different industries, all the different areas across the country where people are suffering. And, you know, you have, you know, basically the Republican side holding things up because they want money for bombers. They want money for the wall. They want money for tax write-offs for, you know, business lunches. And in the meantime, average Americans are suffering out there.
I just saw in today's news that the Republican Senate, excuse me, I don't want to say Congress, I'm being specific here, we're looking for, I think it was $36 billion in round two to prop up the airline industry.
Oh, yeah. You know, bailouts for businesses.
Because during a fucking pandemic, we really want to make sure that people can fly around the country all they want.
There was actually an article from somebody who has like flown like 20 times. And they were like, look at this man's tips on how not to get coronavirus while flying. How about just maybe not going to
fly?
Yeah.
Just stay in.
Brian, what's
that actually? That leads to my beef.
What's your beef?
Americans not taking this, not willing to change their lifestyle because there's a pandemic. And it hit me. It crystallized in a moment a couple days ago. I was on, it was either Facebook or Instagram. Nowadays, they're all, you know, the same. They just blend into just like mind-numbing passages of time. And I saw a post by a former coworker of mine who was at a vineyard somewhere like in upstate New York, all decked out with her friends.
Okay.
And all I could think about was, what the fuck are you doing? Like, do you feel the need to wear like a halter top with like skinny jeans so you can stand in like sipping wines? Like, do you have absolute, like, can you not understand that this is not the time to, you know, be out and about? Like, kind of, you know, maybe you should limit it, and it then just strolled into the fact that this country is just in a epic denial that their way of life, which we have to admit, we have led a luxurious life, a pampered lifestyle for probably the last 30 years or so. That's an estimate. I know some people would say going backwards, but it's just the fact that, like, you know, you look at social media nowadays and so many people are out and about and they're doing, you know, they're traveling, they're visiting friends and family. And I have one friend who insists on going to a great adventure. It's why can't you just say, you know what, why can't America just say there's a pandemic going on? You know what? We're just going to keep it local. We're going to avoid doing things that attract groups. And we're just going to try and sacrifice this year so we can enjoy next year.
Because I'm pretty sure, and I don't know because I haven't really thumbed through the document, pretty sure the Constitution guarantees us the right to theme parks.
Oh, hold on a second. I got bored this week one day, and I was on Instagram, and I follow the New York Post. So they had a story about this gym that is in New Jersey, which is run by two right-wing nut jobs. They're not nut jobs. I don't want to libel or defame or
alleged nut jobs.
No, but they've taken the approach that Governor Murphy does not have the legal authority to order their gym to be closed. So they've insisted on opening. And they're claiming we're doing all of the necessary precautions. We're making sure people wear masks. We're disinfecting. But fuck you. We're going to open up our gym. They got shut down. As they showed up the next day, reopened it. They got shut down again. They sued, went to court, lost the case because the judge said during a health crisis, the government is allowed to make decisions that will to ensure the overall health of the general public. Right. These guys said, okay, went back to the gym, reopened it. Like, there's just, this has now just become a cause célèbre of the Jersey workout crew. Make a long story short. So the New York Post does a story on Instagram for it. All I did, and this was, I felt like tossing out some bait. I trolled. I'll be the first to admit it.
You're good at
it. I just wrote, arrest them, period. It's the New York Post, so I knew exactly what was going to come at my way. So I got hit with, one person was just like, oh, you know, fitting an ignorant comment from a Yankees fan, which meant that somehow this guy got onto my account and started looking back through photos of the last time I was at a Yankees game, which was fucking last summer. And I've posted way more shit than that. So it's like already a little bizarre that like he would go that far back. But then I got another one, which was a homosexual Republican who right off the bat just started bashing me and referenced the Constitution, that it's unconstitutional for them not to be allowed to open their business. And I was just like, thank you. You have given me some meat for me to chew on because I don't feel like working right now. So I sat there and I said, thank you for pointing out, you know, why these guys think that they should be open. Can you let me know where in the Constitution that the language is such that the government doesn't have the right to not open businesses? And the guy threw out the First Amendment. Right. Opened it up, looked at the First Amendment. There's nothing in there. It's about freedom of speech. It's about the government cannot stop you from being able to talk. Then I go back to the guy. I'm like, yeah, I don't understand. Can you point out where? He goes, well, it's also the Fourth Amendment. I read the Fourth Amendment. Has absolutely nothing to do with it. Then he goes off onto a tangent, comes back and said that this disease is not even that dangerous. There's a 99.96% survival rate. I said, wow, that's great. I said, that's great. Where did you get that number from, if I may ask? Comes back and says the CDC. So this kid literally, and I don't know, he was a kid. He was probably 20 maybe, but he clearly has just as much time to kill as I do. So it was just like, it was like simpatico for a moment. And he goes to the CDC. I was like, that's awesome. Can you show me where the CDC says this? So he sends me a link to some like whack right-wing New Jersey website that quotes the CDC, provides a link to a CDC website, but nowhere on that link, on the CDC site, does it make any reference to the survival rate. So just because I'm an asshole, I replied back to him. I said, hey, I really appreciate the article. It's really informative, but I didn't see that number on the CDC website. Can you just show me where exactly? I said, because I want to believe that this is, you know, not as serious. And that's when he just ghosted me. So I was ghosted by a gay 20-year-old New Jersey kid who's conservative, by the way.
Story of your life. I mean, really, when you think about it.
I'd like to say this is the first time that's happened.
And yet.
But it is not.
No.
It is not. No.
Well, we got a bunch to talk about. Not just coronavirus this week, which I know you have come to expect. But we have a bunch of other news that happened this past week. We obviously need to start off with the huge tragedy that happened earlier this week. The video of it went viral very quickly. People couldn't believe what they saw. Of course, this was the Donald Trump interview on Axios on HBO. Holy shit, what a train wreck. Brian, I know you feed on this like manna from heaven. What's your take on the Trump interview?
The arrogance of the Trump White House thinking that you could put Trump in front of this Axios reporter who ripped him to shreds, I believe it was 2 years ago, might have been three. But the guy did an interview with Trump where he just basically embarrassed him. The fact that somebody in the White House sat there and said to Trump, hey, you should do an hour-long interview with Axios again. You had a bad experience with them a little, you know, a little ways back. This time, I'm sure you're going to do a lot better. You know what we're going to do? We're going to bring you pieces of paper with statistics that show that that you're handling this pandemic well and that the United States is doing a great job. They do the interview. And this guy literally, and he doesn't, the thing is what I liked about it, he's classy.
Jonathan Swan, you're talking about.
Thank you for informing me. I go to you for facts. I go to me for opinions.
Yeah.
But the fact that this guy does not openly shred Trump, but what he does is he leads Trump into a deeper hole. And then once Trump is in there, he just says something that just shuts up Trump, because Trump does not, he lives in this bubble of people that are sycophants and will literally just yes him to death and prop up his fragile ego. So when this guy sits there, stares him in the face and says, but the United States, we're doing a terrible job of this, of the virus, you can see that Trump literally starts stumbling because he cannot process this thought that he's being challenged.
Right. I mean, you know, he challenged him on mail-in voting. He challenged him on the coronavirus. He challenged him on the Russian bounties of the Taliban. I think the one soundbite that seems to be getting the most traffic, and we have a clip of it here, was Trump talking about the coronavirus deaths.
Right now, I think it's under control. I'll tell you what.
How? 1,000 Americans are dying a day.
They are dying. That's true. And it is what it is. But that doesn't mean we aren't doing everything we can. It's under control as much as you can control it. This is a horrible plague that beset us.
A plague, Brian. It is what it is.
But I thought this, no, this isn't a plague. This was just going to vanish after 15 cases.
Well, it's the plague, it's the Kung flu, it's the Wuhan flu. Yeah, it's just going to go away. The kids are safe to go back to school, the whole nine yards, and 160,000 American deaths. It is what it is, Brian.
Have we hit 160?
We are very close. It was about 159, according to the ticker on CNN, which for some reason they feel the need to have on 24/7. Like, which that to me seems a bit much to be a rolling count of cases and deaths in the world and then in the United States. Literally on screen almost all day on CNN.
They're not even pretending.
No.
They're
beyond being objective at this point. Like, you listen to the commentary and it's just not even news. It's just like, we are sick and tired of this guy.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
No, I got it. I feel that way, but I do, I miss an impartial press. I feel like, you know, and a lot of people, you know, I read, there was an article I read sometime this past week where it said that this is a result of the consolidation of the media, where you now only, you know, you have maybe five or six real power brokers in the media, whereas, you know, 50 years ago, you know, it literally was each town had its own media, and you know, it didn't have the you know, you didn't have the conglomerates, you know, owned by the Murdochs and the Rothschilds, the Gates, the Soroses.
Well, we just got an update from one of our listeners out there. 159.
Come on!
900. Listen. So we'll see if we can break 160,000 before the end of this podcast. If not,
somebody,
maybe by the end of After Dark.
Can somebody please monitor CNN right now? And as that number goes up, we want to be able to update people. It is right now on East Coast time. It is now 8:30. So what is that? What are we, 100 shy?
100 shy. This is like watching not the Sammy Davis telethon. Who is it? Jerry Lewis telethon. It's like you're watching, you want to see the number on the big board.
Remember when Jerry blew up? Remember he like disappeared for like 2 years or so? And they were like, oh yeah, Jerry's sick. He hasn't been doing well lately. And then there was that one year where they're like, Jerry's going to be back. You know, he's not doing the whole show. He's just going to do like a couple windows. And he came out and it was just like he had sucked like helium for a year. And just slowly inflated.
And you'll never walk alone. Classic Jerry.
Did you ever volunteer for the local walkathon or telethon or whatever? I could see you doing that.
We did because you know, we did have a girl that lived on my block growing up that had muscular dystrophy. and she was actually the local spokesperson for it. So we were.
Nice. Yeah. I could see you doing. At your core, I know you don't want to admit this or believe it, but I believe in your core, I genuinely think you're a good person.
On occasion, I have my moments. Moving on, we really saw tragedy with the explosion in Beirut on their port there. Right now, I think they're saying 150 dead was the last total I saw.
That's
over 5,000 injured. What seems to be the issue is ammonium nitrate, which apparently was seized from a ship back in 2013. And then for whatever reason, stored in this warehouse on the port, they're saying about 2,750 metric tons of ammonium nitrate had been stockpiled. They actually had a picture up online earlier tonight showing the warehouse, and it's literally just these bags of ammonium nitrate just stacked on top of each other, and they're breaking apart, they're falling apart. Like, it's really no surprise. If you are familiar with ammonium nitrate, it was used in the 1995 Oklahoma bombing, in the 2002 bombings in Bali, Indonesia, and then also by far-right Norwegian terrorist Anders Behring Breivik in his 2011 shooting and bombing attack.
I remember that guy. Coincidentally, I've been using ammonium nitrate as a lubricant when I need to use the Fleshlight.
Interesting. Very dangerous. I would not recommend that.
I'm going to stop now. I didn't realize that was dangerous. I like the friction that it provides. Oof.
I believe I sent you a picture of that NBC News post, and also of the overhead shot of the port with all the buildings prior to the explosion. Then afterwards, I think there was at least 11 buildings on the port completely decimated. $5 billion in damage is the number that I'm seeing tossed around. In addition, the bigger challenge is going to be the fact that that port was the main port to get supplies into the city of Beirut. The other two ports are smaller and are not able to handle the amount of ships that it would take to really get supplies. So going to be a challenge to get things in. Listener Billy makes a good point. Trump said the explosion in Beirut was due to an attack. Because he feels it in his gut.
Of course. He has access to things. He has access to things.
Unbelievable. What else? New York. This was a big announcement today by the New York Attorney General. People were at first thinking it was going to be an indictment against Donald Trump Jr., maybe Ivanka, maybe the Trump organization in general. But this kind of came out of left field. The New York Attorney General is suing to dissolve the NRA because apparently they've been diverting millions of dollars to leaders for their personal use. I believe the number they're putting at is $64 million over the last 3 years.
Run that by me again. The NRA has spent how much on themselves?
The NRA, so the case alleges that the people named in it, like Wayne LaPierre and some other higher-ups in the NRA.
All evil people that need to die.
Right, that the NRA has lost about $64 million in just 3 years as a result of these higher-ups just using money from the NRA for their own use. I think they said something along the lines of Wayne LaPierre has visited the Bahamas, for example, more than 8 times by private plane for a total cost of about $500,000. And if you remember, back in 2018, Oliver North resigned from leadership of the NRA because of some allegations of financial improprieties. This really seems to be getting even bigger now.
Were these charges that Oliver North was improper, or he resigned because he said he saw things that he didn't approve of?
I guess he resigned because he was kind of the fall guy, but he is not one of the people that is being named in the lawsuit.
That's obviously because he got the hostages released from the Iranians back in Beirut. Let's circle back. But where were these U.S. hostages being held? Beirut, Lebanon. Now, suddenly, wait a second.
They're in Iran.
No. The Hezbollah, who are controlled by the Iranians but operated with impunity in Lebanon, that's where they were holding these American hostages. Can you explain to me the Iran-Contra scandal? Let's see if you remember your American history.
I mean, didn't that have something to do with the U.S. government was selling the Contra rebels weapons under the table? Something like that? Listen, I wasn't a good student, Brian. You got to come.
You just did a if A, then B, if B, then C, then if A equals Z. The United States was providing missiles to Israel. Israel was damaging these missiles so that they would not be usable. Then, using a third-party arms dealer, was providing these missiles at cost to the Iranian government. The Iranian government's money was going back to the Israelis, back to America. We were then using that to purchase weapons for the Contras that were in El Salvador, because Congress, run by the Democrats at the time, ruled that no more American money could go towards supporting the Contras. So the Republican-held White House, Ronnie Reagan, they came up with the idea of fraudulently selling weapons to Iran and taking that money to usurp the powers of Congress.
So for those of you who want to keep your kids home during the pandemic and have a little learning nook, Brian is available to teach your kids for the upcoming school year.
I'd fucking do it. I would do it. I mean, the thing is, kids can't get sick. We know that. There's no reason why children...
They don't have the receptors.
We know for a fact children cannot get coronavirus.
But real quick, because again, we always coronavirus. We're holding off on coronavirus this week.
Love it.
The NRA also ended up, the district attorney for Washington, D.C., filed a separate lawsuit against the organization for, quote, the misusing charitable funds to support wasteful spending by the NRA and its executives. So Donald Trump, in the way that he likes to support alleged and charged criminals, he didn't wish him well. But
he didn't wish him well.
He recommended that perhaps they should relocate to Texas.
Now, what is New York? What is why is the jurisdiction here in New York?
Because of their nonprofit status, they are chartered in the state of New York. They're actually based
really?
In Fairfax, Virginia. But again, the New York Attorney General has investigative authority due to their nonprofit status.
Let's take them down. Let's fucking shut this shit down. And if they relocated to a different state, this is a moot point.
I don't think so, because you already, it's like, all right, so if you kill somebody in New York and you move to Texas.
Listen, I could kill somebody right there on Fifth Avenue tomorrow. I could shoot somebody and people would love me even more.
But even if they relocate to Texas, it doesn't absolve them of the lawsuits that have already taken place in D.C. And, you know, NRA was saying that they were running out of money. Because they've been spending it hand over fist. So it'll be interesting to see if they even have the funds to defend themselves against these two cases. I don't think many people are going to be upset if they go out of business.
Republicans and gun nuts will.
You sure?
Yeah.
I mean, the gun nuts. But it's
America. America loves our guns. We love our guns.
Do you love your guns, Brian? Right, two tickets to the gun show tonight, ladies. You didn't think you were going to get that. You know what else Brian loves? Brian loves lightning rounds.
Oh,
are you, Brian? I have my little notebook here that I write do all my show prep in. I have 10 questions for you here for your lightning round, and so I will give you the.
And I don't know the questions.
No, you don't. You know,
this is you will be hearing these questions at the same time I will.
I will give you the option to have one pass. You can skip answering one question if it is too uncomfortable. Use it wise. Okay. All right, Brian, what do you miss most that you aren't able to do right now due to the pandemic?
Go to concerts.
That's it. Just go to concerts.
Well, no. You asked, what do I miss most?
Right.
So I can only pick one thing.
What is it about the concert environment that you miss?
I enjoy having several beers and listening to a band whose music I enjoy.
All right.
Those two questions, right?
That was a part A.
Okay. So,
quick question for you, Brian, from one of our listeners here. Let me see if I can get that up. Serious guns. Do you have a permit to carry those around, my friend?
New York is a hard permit to get. No, I do not have a permit there.
All right. Question two. Do you prefer your fleshlight to actual human contact?
It's been so long that my first answer is yes, I do prefer it. But ultimately, I'm going to say no.
Okay. What is your favorite?
By the way, I'm already sweating.
I know.
I'm already sweating from the pressure.
What is your favorite part of my body?
Your brain.
Oh.
I have a quick second answer.
Okay.
Second one is your voice.
Oh, all right. That'll work. All right. I got an F, Mary, kill for you here. Dr. Fauci, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, and Dr. Conrad Murray. Of course, Dr. Murray was Michael Jackson's personal Prohiphenol doctor. So F, Mary, kill those three.
Who's the second person?
Dr. Ronnie Jackson, the one that was President Trump's personal physician.
Fuck. Okay, here we go.
All right.
I'm going to fuck Dr. Fauci. First off, he's smaller. So, like, he would be a natural fit while we are spooning on our sides. I would be okay. Big spoon in this case. I would marry Conrad Murray because I know that he has access to some really good sleeping medication. And I have not slept well probably in the past month, waking up a lot in the middle of the night and whatnot. So, which means that I would have to kill Randy Jackson because he created the phrase, that's a no for me, dog. And I don't, it was very annoying when popular.
All right, interesting. I didn't think you would go that route, but very nice. Have you ever had an inappropriate crush?
Define inappropriate.
I'm going to allow define inappropriate.
No.
If it was a crush that made you feel uncomfortable.
Coworkers.
Okay.
In an age where I'm HR and I know that that's not that is absolutely something that should not happen. You know, that's as close to what I would say is a inappropriate. Never anything underage or for hire or stuff like that. No. So I'd like to say no, but.
I mean, did you have a crush on the stripper that you spent $900 on?
That was lust. That was not a crush.
All right.
That was literally lust. That was feeling female flesh for the first time in a while. So I believe I got a little carried away.
Interesting. One of our listeners, Janelle, is saying, Brian, you have a crush on her boyfriend.
That is EB. EB has a very special place in my heart.
All right, cool. More special than mine?
Just different.
Just different. All right, I can just accept different. That. What's the biggest lie?
Is this question nine?
You're actually only on six.
Fuck me. Oh, God. Okay.
What is the biggest lie you've ever told without getting caught?
Oh, no. fuck.
Now, remember, you still have your one.
No. It doesn't make the point. One time at a birthday party, I convinced a woman that I was working in the World Trade Center on 9/11.
Oh. Yeah.
That's I'll give you the backstory there. We were at a birthday party. It was a friend's 30th birthday. And, I knew about three people there. So I was talking to people, you know, just kind of like mingling and whatnot. And it was outside of Philly. I don't remember exactly where it was, but you know, the kid lived in Philly. So I'm sitting there and the woman found out that I had, that I lived in New York. So this was, I'm going to say 2006 maybe.
Okay.
So she immediately started telling me about her 9/11 story, which was that she worked for the volunteer fire department in her town. Volunteered, so it wasn't actually work. They weren't paying her. She was volunteering. So when she saw that 9/11 was happening and she saw the towers on fire and people jumping to their death, this was obviously before the refrigerated trucks were called in.
Yeah.
It so bothered me that this woman was so far removed from ground zero and was patting herself on the back, trying to take the claim, the mantle of being a first responder. And I had had a couple beers, but I was still well within my my faculties. And I just said to myself, I need to shut this woman down. So I actually, in all honesty, I had worked in the Trade Center in the South Tower back in, I'm going to say like 94, 95. Oh, 95 or 96 was around when I did that. So I knew the general like geography of the buildings.
Okay.
So I just was like, you know what, lady? You're going to get a grade A lie. So I went, I literally probably did about 10 or 15 minutes of what my day was like. And I was carrying coworkers down.
You went like whole, you went Steve Renuzzi on her.
Literally, I was talking about, I had coworkers whose skin had burned off. And then, you know, I ended it with the firefighters that were walking up as we were going down, you know, and I just, you know, you saw their faces and, I told her I was trauma. And literally, about 20 minutes after I'm done with her, I walked away. My buddy whose birthday party it was approached me. He's like, what did you say to that girl? And it's just like, oh, I don't know. Why? What do you think? He goes, because she said that you're like a real heavy dude. And I was like, super serious. And I was just like, and I clearly not known for that for that personality trait. So I told him exactly what I had done. But I was like, you got to promise me you don't tell her. So this woman probably has spent the rest of her life, probably short, because if I remember correctly, she didn't look like she was taking very good care of herself. I had her thinking that I had that I survived the attacks on the World Trade Center on 9/11. That's probably the worst lie I've ever told.
No, I mean, I would be hard pressed to think of a worse one. You went all in on that one and you didn't get laid from it.
I wasn't trying to.
OK.
I was not trying to. This was not a woman that I found attractive. This was I was just
trying to prove a point is what you were doing.
Yeah, I just wanted her to sit there and realize that, like, her 9/11 story was not a story at all. It was not to be told to anyone.
That's why they call it the lightning round. Our other Brian that listened, wow, not sure how to feel about that. I'm with you. I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. But let's move on to the next question and try and cleanse our brains of that. What is, and this is only number 7, so... I
still have 4 left.
You got 4 left, and the last one is a 2-parter. I'm just going to give you a heads up. So what is the most surprising thing that's ever turned you on?
The most surprising thing that has turned
me
on?
You saw something or you experienced something, and you got turned on, and you're like, huh, I didn't know that about myself.
Oh, cuck porn.
Okay.
Yeah, cuck porn. Absolutely.
Watch his wife get fucked by another guy.
I can't say that it's a regular rotation kind of thing,
right?
But there are moments where I just go down, a path, and then out of nowhere, I will just end up on it and say to myself, all right, this will work for the next couple minutes.
All right. This one kind of easy after all the ones you've gone through so far. What's the last thing you searched for on your phone?
Do you want me to look?
If you want, I mean, I don't know if you just would know it offhand.
I know I looked at the NBA schedule earlier today because I bet all the games with a friend of mine. So I'm going to guess that was, no, not at all. I looked up who Daisy Coleman was.
And who is Daisy Coleman?
Daisy Coleman is a young woman who just committed suicide at the age of 23.
Oh, I saw that. She was in that Netflix documentary.
Audrey and Daisy, which is on Netflix, and it tells the story of a and it came out in 2016. I don't know how I missed this story, but it's heartbreaking the story is the fact that this girl was 14 at a party with a friend of hers who I think was 15. They both were heavily intoxicated, and then they were both raped and videotaped by these two 17-year-old boys who spread the video around school. The girls were then mercilessly bullied, trash-talked, physically threatened. One of the girls' house almost was set on fire. And both girls ended up killing themselves over the past year. I saw a headline at Netflix star, blah, 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 commits suicide at 23. And I didn't know who she was, so I looked it up. Now, that didn't turn me on at all, if that's what you were...
I'm happy to hear that.
You want to circle back. That actually, I read the article and it literally broke my heart to hear that that's what's going on in America.
Mine was very low key then. I searched for if my yard bags were going to be picked up by the township tomorrow.
Ron, we have very different lives. We have very different stories.
Without a doubt. All right, you're almost done. We'll see how that, I think these last two.
Got it.
Okay. If you could eradicate COVID from the planet by losing a limb, would you do it?
Had you asked me this question a year ago, I would have said no. But if I could eradicate COVID and give up my left arm, would I do it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would. I think I would. Are we talking like from the shoulder, or are we talking like from the elbow?
I mean, I'd give you at the elbow.
So I would have this.
You'd have a nub.
So I could still like, but I wouldn't. Yeah, I think I would. I think I would.
Now, this is a part two of a question which I just thought of, and you can choose to answer it or not. If you did have from just the elbow down removed, would you consider replacing it with a prosthetic fleshlight?
Fuck yes. Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. Last question. Again, this is in two parts, and you can choose which part to answer first. What is your favorite thing about me? And what is your least favorite thing about me?
Oh, my favorite thing about you is that you entertain me. That I have never, in the years that we have interacted, have ever thought to myself that I just really wasn't. I was done with you, and I have that. I have a bad habit of doing that to people in my life. But I look forward to whatever chat we're having. Like if I see on my phone a notification from you that like you've sent me something in Messenger, I know it's going to be good. I know you're not going to sit there and be like, hey, the wife and I just made this banana bread and we thought we'd share the recipe with you. Like I never have to worry about that with you. It's going to be a link to an article that you know I'm going to be interested in. Like I think at this point you're one of the few people that I can sit and talk to for an hour without getting bored.
And least favorite.
I wish you went to the doctor more.
Oh, all right.
I'd like you to take better care of yourself.
So two comments from Billy. I would have guessed Brian's favorite thing about Ron is his current unemployment.
Fucking
two
that's clever.
Right now. Billy
he's bringing the heat.
Ron on
his
floor.
He's bringing the heat. Yeah.
Brian, the other Brian that listens, would like the banana bread recipe. So we will post that on
those
our Facebook
clever.
Page.
Those are clever.
Listen, there's nothing wrong. You know, bananas go brown very quickly. You got to have some way to kind of recycle them and turn them into something good.
Correct.
All right. Well, Brian, you survived lightning round. Very impressive. Congratulations. Whew. Was it tough for you?
It was uncomfortable at a couple moments.
There were times. I got to tell you, I did not expect that would be your worst lie ever.
I'm actually wondering if I've told worse. Like that's the worst I can think of.
I can't picture it.
No. I've told worse.
Really?
When I was getting away from my first wife.
Claiming that you were rescuing people in the towers in 9/11. Tell me what's worse than that.
That's a morally corrupt answer. I will give you that. But when I was trying to extract myself from my first marriage, there were days where, you know, I said, oh, I'll be with you forever. I'm not going to leave you. Meanwhile, I fully well knew I was going to leave her. Like, I justified it in my mind, but at the no, that's not worse.
I don't think so, because again, I think, and again, having been in that situation when you're in a marriage, you know, when I was in my first marriage and there were conversations early on when I wasn't sure which direction it was going to go, then yeah, I don't think you necessarily tell the entire truth that's in your mind. Okay. But again, maybe I hold 9/11 at this different plateau where if you're going to tell somebody that
we were okay in all, just because I believe in transparency, there was a time where we were in a, how do I put this? A scare.
Okay.
If you can read the code language, we were going through a, you know,
we were at like orange level, something like that.
No, it was more like I wanted to make sure I never had to go out and buy diapers.
Okay.
So we were in that kind of situation where it was just like, hey, maybe. And I told a lot of lies to ensure that situation was resolved. Is that worse than 9/11?
I don't think so. And again, this is my opinion. We can always ask the listeners if they feel, but I feel it would have taken a lot to top the 9/11 story.
Wow. Okay. Now I'm not sure I should have told it.
Well, let's move on. Celebrity obituaries this week. Two big ones that we,
diabetes, you know, diabetes gets you on the end.
Wilford Brimley, best known from, Cocoon. He was in Quaker Oats. I also forgot he was in The Natural and The Thing.
He was amazing in The Natural. He played the manager. The Thing he was in, but wasn't there a TV show where he played like the father?
He was in NBC's Our House.
That's the one I'm thinking
Gruff
of.
Gruff Riddler.
Well, he played gruff everything.
Well, I don't think you can have a mustache like that and not be considered anything other than gruff.
Did you ever see a photo of him without a mustache?
I don't think I have. Have you?
Me neither. No, I don't think so.
So passing away at the age of 85 from, he was getting treatment for a number of medical problems and was on dialysis. But Wilford, we miss you, my friend. We had some people that scored in the Ron and Brian death pool, thanks to Wilford Brimley, myself included. Brian, still sitting at 0 points in the Ron and Brian death pool.
The luck I have that during a global pandemic, I still can't predict one death. It literally is bothering me that we have now completed 7 of the 12 months of this year and not one of my 10 picks is correct. Do you have the pool open right now or no?
I don't offhand, no.
If you could just talk, because I would like to go over who my picks were.
I mean,
so
I
we could just see how,
if you would like.
I'm happy to do it if it doesn't really make a difference. It's bothering me because there are other people in this pool who I believe are on like their fourth kill.
All right. The first place is Jocelyn. She's got 4 picks and 45 points. So Brian,
she picked Jerry Stiller, right. Max von Sydow, Regis Philbin, and Wilford Brimley.
I mean, she's come on strong in the last couple of weeks.
And she also picked Aaron Carter.
I mean, you know, not. I mean, I don't think she was the only one that picked Alan Carter. We do need to give special props to a listener, Janelle, who picked Don Imus, who passed away 3 days before the end of the year. So she had to change her Deadpool pick. But that was impressive. That. All right, yes. So you had Alex Trebek, which a lot of people have had, but thankfully he is still with us. Bill Cosby, still with us, surprisingly. Bob Barker. Let's see. Charlie Sheen.
How is Bob Barker still alive?
That is a little shocking. Charlie Sheen, who's very quiet. You don't hear from Charlie anymore.
Is he dead?
No, he's alive. Clint Eastwood, again, at the age of, he's going to be 90 this May. So actually, no, he turned 90 already because this is, my God, I don't even know what day it is. So, yeah, he's 90. Corey Feldman, a good pick.
This is a good pick.
Dick Van Dyke, 95 he's going to be at the end of the
year. Fucking hell.
Ed Asner, another one. Eddie Van Halen, I thought that was a smart pick. I think you're the only one that picked Eddie Van Halen.
Felt good on that one.
You potentially have some points there. Hal Holbrook, again, another guy that's 95 years old.
He was my safety pick.
Still hanging in there. Jerry Sandusky, still alive, still incarcerated, thankfully. Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter turns 96 in October. Johnny Depp, I mean, he's having kind of a rough time with his divorce there.
I thought he would OD. I really thought he would OD at some point.
Larry Flint, Larry King. I mean, there is another one born in 33. Larry Nassar, again, another guy still behind bars.
I thought he'd get shivved in prison.
Here's a guy I'm still surprised is alive. Mikhail Gorbachev. You went
deep. He had the skin. He literally was just like a walking time bomb. There's no reason why that man's still around.
Tekashi 6ix9ine, that wouldn't help you much because so many people pick Tekashi. And shockingly, no one has killed him. Usually,
I haven't even heard they've taken a shot at him.
Woody Allen, again, another one who's up there. He's going to be 85 in December. And then Yoko Ono. Yoko Ono is timeless. I think she'll just live forever.
No offense, but listening to those picks, I feel good about them. I still do.
There's still a lot of time left in the year. Billy,
see it happening.
If Marty Jannetty makes it to 2021, would he be a good pick?
No, he's a survivor.
And we'll be talking about Marty Jannetty in After Dark. So if you are not a Patreon subscriber, you definitely want to get signed up on the bronze level or higher. Just go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, upper right-hand corner, click become a patron, or just go to patreon.com/ the Ron and Brian Podcast. But yes, Marty Jannetty is definitely on the list. You get some free swag on top of all the additional content. We'll be talking about the accused Twitter hacker. His Zoom court got flooded with porn.
Gonna love it.
Hasbro discontinuing a Trolls doll because of an unfortunately placed button. There's so much stuff coming up on After Dark for those of you who are Patreon subscribers. What else do we have this week? Oh, Brian, what are you watching?
Oh, I watched a great series on Netflix, Fear City.
How is that? That's about the mafia in New York City, correct?
It's a documentary of three parts, so it's just 3 hours long. It's about the mob in New York City in the 1970s. So they interview in the 80s. I think it also goes into the 80s.
Okay.
So they interview some of the FBI agents that were involved. They interviewed Rudy Giuliani. They interview some of the wise guys that were in the mob at the time. But it's just to me, I can't help it. I see a video of New York during the 1970s and 80s. And to me, it's just a love letter right off the bat. It brings me such fond memories. The grime, the homeless people shitting in the middle of the street, the druggies, the needles. I mean, it's the New York I grew up with.
All right,
but it is just about how, at the end of the 70s, the mob really had such a strong hold on the economy in the New York State market, Long Island, Jersey, and in the tri-state area, and how out of their element the FBI was, how they could not figure out how to put together cases against the people at the higher echelons of the mob. And it wasn't until somebody realized that they had the RICO Act, the racketeering and informers cooperating in an organization act that would, no?
It could be. I'll give you that.
I don't think so. It doesn't feel right. But that gave them the idea that if you are acting in concert with somebody who is committing a crime, you are in effect committing that crime. And that basically was the tool that was used to break out the mob stranglehold over the New York City economy.
So was that a recommendation to people?
Absolutely recommend it.
All right.
I have taken a somewhat break from the Marvel movies. This is a pandemic, so I'm looking for things that will spark and elicit love and joy and not pain and sorrow. There's already enough.
That's fair. I started watching Dark, which is into its third season on Netflix, kind of a time travel, sci-fi, mystery type show. I'm a little bit asleep on it. Again, like I said, it's on its third season, but almost finishing up season one, which has been pretty good. And then also, It's like a German subtitled, overdubbed type thing. So I couldn't tell you.
I used to watch some German stuff a couple of years ago. it got very dark. I will say this.
Was that something that surprised you when it turned you on?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit.
We got a question, Brian. Did you finish Brockmire?
I finished season one. That's with
Hank Azaria.
Yes, where he plays the baseball announcer. Really enjoyed season one. Started season two. Did not hit me as well. We'll be going back to it.
All right. I've also watched, I told you about this, Love on the Spectrum. Five-episode docuseries from Australia following kids on the autism spectrum that are trying to date and following their relationship. Very touching, very well done, very well handled, very moving. You'll shed a tear or two watching that.
Now, the women that are on that show, do you think I would have a shot with them?
Probably.
Or do you think that they would see right through me?
I think their standards are probably a little bit higher.
What if I told them my 9/11 story?
Well, I mean, they probably weren't born a lot. They're very young, you know, in their early 20s. So you might get away with it.
No, they probably don't even know what 9/11 is.
So we almost are going to get out of here without any coronavirus stories this week. But we did want to discuss kids going back to school because we already have some schools in Georgia and North Carolina.
Send them back.
And are coming down with coronavirus.
Which is odd because I read an article recently from the American Association of Pediatricians, which sat there and strongly encouraged the reopening of schools because they said that it is good for children's mental health to have the social activity of a classroom.
Is that the same organization where that doctor was from with the demon sperm and alien DNA, or is this on the
different, up and up? This is supposedly on the up and up, but it does not address the risk factors of the coronavirus on teenagers and children of different ages.
You know, we have talked about masks and social distancing. Let's take a look at a photo from North Paulding High School in Georgia in their hallway.
And that was earlier this week.
Correct.
And what you're not seeing from this angle is that almost none of those kids are wearing masks because the state of Georgia, in all of their backwards thinking, their let's pretend nothing's wrong and we're all ready to die for our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, that masks are optional, not mandatory, regardless of the social setting in the state of Georgia.
And so there was a teacher that worked at this high school that resigned prior to the school year because she felt it wasn't safe. And actually, the students, there was a student that took this picture, and then there was another hallway picture that went viral as well. Both of those students have been suspended from school for a week. And the principal made an announcement that anyone disseminating photos or information about the high school on social media would also face repercussions.
But the idea was that not because it was posted on social media, but they got suspended because school policy says students are not to have their phones with them throughout the day.
That is correct.
Or no, they can have it with them. They're not allowed to use it unless it's an emergency.
And then there was also that high school in North Carolina that Mike Pence was citing in a speech where he was like, oh, look at this school in North Carolina.
The students,
they've tested positive also.
It's going to be a shit show. And keep in mind, New York City is the only major city in America that is insisting on in-class schooling for students this year.
Didn't you have a bunch of forklifts and refrigerated trucks there?
If Mayor de Blasio does not remember what the month of April was like when the coronavirus was ravaging New York City, as well as my own body, to the point where the hospitals were overloaded with corpses, required pitchforks to take out the bodies and put them in refrigerated trucks that were parked outside of the hospitals. And much like how New York conquered the pandemic in our phase one, we leveled the curve, we broke the curve, we're on the downside of that mountain. I was able to level the effects of the coronavirus. I was able to be on the downside of that mountain, and I feel the COVID antibodies flowing through my body.
All right. Anything else this week, Brian, or is it time to roll on out and prepare for Ron and Brian After Dark?
I'm ready to get dark.
All right. So as always, if you do want to join us After Dark, that is going live now as well, but only for subscribers of our Patreon. As we mentioned, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com or patreon.com/theronandbrianpodcast. Subscribers at bronze or higher get to access live After Dark. We also have some great swag that you can get, in addition to some limited edition Patreon swag at different levels. You can get a Ron and Brian coffee mug, you can get a Ron and Brian organic tote bag, a Ron and Brian hoodie, and as a special gift, if you subscribe at the $25 level or higher between now and August 13th, you will get the Ron and Brian face mask that Brian is showing off right now, and it does pass the candle test for those of you that have been asking. So it will hopefully give you some protection against ending up in a refrigerated truck.
Brian, what's the candle test?
If you can blow out a candle when your mask is on, it's not effective.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So if you put our mask on and try and blow out a candle, it will not work. I will not tell you how I know that, but someone out there tested it for us.
Really?
Yeah, I know people.
I didn't know that we had product testers.
Every now and then, you know, I surprise you. All right, my friend, we will catch you next week. Thank you all for joining us.
Hold up, before you sign off, I just want to give another pitch for the Patreon.
Okay.
We do an hour free every week.
Plus.
And it's because there's so much going on in the world and because I love talking to you. We want to make it free to everyone for those people that, times are tough. America is hurting. So we want to make sure that people can share. But for those out there who want extra content, who want to hear a little bit more, for those people that want to who may be in a fortunate position where they can help out, take some pity on Ron. Ron's as many of you close listeners know, Ron was let go of his job back in early April. He's been collecting unemployment since, though that extra $600 CARES money a week is ended. So he's not one to ask for charity. The man's proud. But one of the ways that you can ease the financial burden on Ron is to support our Patreon. We've got multiple levels. I'm not saying everybody needs to sign up for the diamond level. Subscriber access. I mean, that's what was that $10,000 a month? I mean, that's literally, I mean, that's elite. I mean, at that level, I believe, and tell me if I'm wrong, but we actually do a free monthly podcast just for that person.
We do.
So yeah, you get your own 1 hour long episode with Ron and Brian. But you know, it's as little as $5 a month. It's a price. It's the cup of coffee at Starbucks. And we are not profiting off of this. We put the money back into the podcast. It's how a lot of you have noticed we've upgraded our systems. We're now able to go live on YouTube and Twitch. We're doing video now, whereas a year ago it was strictly audio. It's all thanks to the people who are our Patreons, yes, who have sat there and month in, month out said, you know, it isn't a lot, but it's something. And, you know, you get a couple of those somethings and suddenly it's a lot.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Brian. We are going to roll on out of here. For you Patreon folks, we'll catch you very, very shortly. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We will see you next week.